Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Network, your global transformation station for this Monday, March the 1st, 2021. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and tonight we will begin our minister's training entitled Leadership the Jesus Way. So first, I would like to say a special welcome to all of the ministers that are in attendance tonight. But as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you please bow as we go to the Lord. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I just come now thanking you for this opportunity, Father, hallelujah, to instruct your ministers. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you pour into me as I pour into them. Because, Lord, I want them to be servants after your own heart. I want them to be servants that you will be well pleased with. I want them to be servants that walk decently and in order and righteously, Father, before you. So, Lord God, I just ask that you bless each and every minister present. Bless each and every servant leader present, Lord God, so that we may be iron that sharpens iron. And I just pray this and all other things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah and glory to God. Tonight's program is entitled, How Do You Know If You're Called? So I want to ask you, has God called you to ministry? Now, all Christians are called to serve the cause of Christ by being witnesses and ministers of reconciliation. But God also calls certain people to serve the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, confirmed that if a man aspires to be a pastor, it's a fine work he aspires to do. That's found in 1 Timothy 3:1. Likewise, it is a high honor to be called of God into ministry. So how do you know if God is calling you? First, there is an inward call. By the power of his Holy Ghost, God speaks to those he calls to serve as apostles with the gifting of prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the body of believers, for his church. Now, the great reformer Martin Luther described this inward call as God's voice, which is heard by faith. I love that. And those called by God know this call by the sense of the leading of the Spirit and the purpose and a growing commitment to Christ. Now, this sense of compulsion should prompt the believer to consider whether or not you're being called to ministry. Has God gifted you with a fervent desire to preach? Has he equipped you with the gifts necessary for your ministry? Do you love God's word and feel called to teach his people? Because if you don't have this burning desire, if Christ is not your passion and your absolute focus, this call is not for you. But if your heart is turned towards God and your only passion is to declare the salvation, love, and grace of Christ, then by the power of his Spirit, you will know that this call is for you. Now, this sense of God's urgent commission is one of the central earmarks of an authentic call. Charles Spurgeon identified the first sign of God's call to ministry as an intense, all-absorbing desire to do the work. Notice I did not say to preach. I said to do the work. You see, those called by God sense a growing compulsion to not only preach and teach the word, but also to minister to the people of God. Next, many times there is an external call. God can use a servant leader, an elder, or even a congregation to call out one that is called to ministry. Now, after this minister's calling has been announced, The leadership and the congregation must evaluate and affirm the calling and gifts of that believer who feels called to the ministry. Now, we as a family of faith and the congregation should recognize and celebrate the gifts of ministry given to its members, and we should take responsibility for encouraging those God has called to respond to that call with joy and submission. Hallelujah. Now, there's a problem. These days, many people treat ministry as a career choice rather than a calling. But the biblical challenge when considering your call should be extended from your call to salvation to your call to ministry. You see, there are some who feel like because there have been generations of ministers in the family, that it is only natural for them to follow in their footsteps. And still others believe that they can groom those whom they choose for ministry. But here's a news flash, a gospel PSA, if you will. I don't care if someone has had ministers in the family since before the Civil War. If God has not specifically called you to ministry, don't you dare call yourself. Now, if you just happen to be one of the ones that the pastor will choose to groom, you're still going to lose too. Because you see, man can't call or groom you to be a minister because that's God's job. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, only God can call a true minister, and only God can equip that minister with the gifts necessary for the service in which he has called them to. But we have the great promise of scriptures, and that is that God does call ministers and presents these servants as gifts to the church. Now, one key issue here is a common misunderstanding about the will of God. Some models of evangelical piety imply that God's will is something difficult for us to accept. Wow. You know, we sometimes confuse this further by talking about surrendering to the will of God. As Paul makes clear in Romans 12 and 2, which happens to be part of this ministry's calling scripture, the will of God is good, worthy of eager acceptance, and perfect. You see, those called by God to preach will be given a desire to preach as well as the gift of preaching. Now, beyond this, the God-called preacher will feel the same compulsion as the great apostle Paul, who says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Now, let's consider your calling for a moment. Do you sense that God is calling you to ministry, whether as a pastor or another servant of the church? Do you burn with the compulsion to proclaim the word or share the gospel or care for God's flock? Has this call been confirmed or encouraged by those Christians who know you best? You see, God still calls. So the question is, has he truly called you? For you see, calling is a difficult concept because it is primarily subjective. I mean, I don't know. I have never heard of anyone who has said that they entered into ministry because they were wakened in the middle of the night by God, who said in his most deepest, most powerful voice, "Get on your feet. I'm calling you to ministry." Nope, never heard it. But seriously, how does someone discern whether God has called them into church ministry or ministry? First, you got to realize something. God is sovereign. Now, some of you may be thinking, now, what in the world, Bishop Cook, does that have to do with my calling? Well, actually, God's sovereignty has just about everything to do with our calling. You see, God calls individuals to serve his people simply because, or his church, simply because it's his church. So he gets to select those who will carry out his plans and purposes. Sovereignty means that God doesn't consult with anyone before he calls someone to serve as a minister in his church. Okay. Sovereignty also means that education, talent, or personality is not relevant to God. He does not depend on our strengths, our abilities, or any of that to accomplish the task that he wants done. And this reality should be both freeing and humbling at the same time. Hallelujah. We don't have to run around trying to be something we're not. Hallelujah. Because God uses us with our own personality and our own uniqueness to do what he wants us to do. And did you notice that Jesus bypassed the educated and the eloquent scribes and Pharisees, choosing men who, for the most part, before they had an encounter with Jesus, they ignored the church. Now, Peter and the other disciples knew how to curse way better than they could recite some scripture verses. In fact, Matthew loved wealth and cheating people on their taxes far more than he did kneeling in prayer. Now, please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not criticizing former education or natural talent, but I do want to introduce an important perspective here. The apostles were totally unqualified to be ministers by today's standards. Yet they set the world on fire for Jesus Christ. Is there anyone who really feels that Peter could attend and graduate a theological institution today? I don't think so. But you know what? Peter had something better than a seminary. Peter used the keys that Christ had given him to initiate the church and later open it up to non-Jews, which at the time was unprecedented. So intelligence and natural abilities can be useful tools, but beloved, that's all they are. If God hasn't called you, no amount of seminary education, college education, or speaking skill will suffice. Academic achievement is only useful as an instrument to advance God's purposes. Nothing more, nothing less. Sovereignty means that God chooses who he wants, when he wants, for what he wants. A calling is really more about God than us. But before we look into some principles for our calling, I want to take some time to discuss some sure signs that a person has not been called or is not ready for leadership in ministry. For you see, motivation plays a major role in ministry calling. Individuals desire to become leaders for a variety of reasons, and not all of them are holy or righteous or have anything. Some don't even have anything to do with God at all. First, sometimes individuals pursue ministry to gain affirmation or recognition. You see, they believe if they are called pastor, evangelist, or prophet, that somehow that will make them somebody. And their mouths may say it's all about Jesus, but everything that they say and everything that they do says, please see me, please see me, please see me. Let me explain something to you, beloved. If you don't already know that you are somebody in Christ, because he created you that way, okay? Then being a evangelist, a pastor, or a prophet is not going to help you at all. Because until you truly know and understand that all the affirmation and validation that you were ever need in your lifetime was given to you when Jesus hung, bled, and died for your sin and mine, then you may need more time to allow God to free you from your need to please man and teach you how to truly please him before you are truly ready for his ministry. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth now. It's true that one of the perks of serving as a pastor or ministry leader is the thrill of publicly sharing the word of God, because it's really a privilege to potentially impact lives in a meaningful and effective way. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Quite honestly, there is nothing like preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Because sensing God's presence with you while you are speaking his holy word, I'm telling you, it's awesome. It gets you excited. And every once in a while, sometimes someone will compliment me about something I said during the sermon, and that's always a blessing. However, if you crave that or you need that affirmation, something is broken and you may not be ready for ministry. Okay? Because ministry is the first and foremost about pleasing God, not people. Second, some are drawn to ministry because they want to be recognized as an authority figure. They like throwing their weight around. They believe that using apostle, pastor, or reverend in their introduction can garner respect as a spiritual leader in the eyes of the public. Let me explain something to you. If you want respect, you must give respect. Because, and you have an apostle, a pastor, or reverend in your introduction, that's not about the Lord. That's about you and your self-image. That would be about the, we have to be about the illumination of the love and light of Christ Jesus. We can't be worried about how we look. Now, for those of you who may be considering full-time church ministry or full-time ministry, I'm about to keep it 100% with you. I've been doing this now for a long, long, long time. And I can tell you right now that it's difficult and quite challenging at times. A lot of the times, most of the times. So if you're genuine, you're not genuinely called to do this, you're going to live a very disappointing and frustrating life. I'm here to tell you right now. Because one thing you will learn very quickly is that some people will praise you to your face and criticize you mercilessly behind your back. Here you are running around trying to do everything and say everything that you can to prove to others how spiritual you are. And they neither appreciate it or acknowledge it. So if you got into, or you are getting into ministry for affirmation and recognition, I'm going to tell you right now, you're more likely to get all the wins knocked out of your little cell than be praised and recognized for all your hard work. Yes. Now, on the flip side of that, those of us who are truly called, we understand out of the gate that people are just plain old fickle. And if people don't even know what they want for themselves, why would I waste 1 second worrying about pleasing them? You see, a true servant does not serve others to get love or acceptance. We serve others in order to express God's love and to carry out his directives. As ministers, we get plenty of practice loving the unlovely, blessing those who hate us, serving those who are unthankful, and encouraging those who disagree with us, all so that we may advance the kingdom of God. You see, part of ongoing ministry training is dealing redemptively with the diversity and the ever-changing needs of God's people. As a minister or church leader, you will find that people will say and do things, oh my goodness, that will disappoint you, that will annoy you, and will even anger you at times. But we must sin not. For you see, God uses the weaknesses of people to train ministry leaders how to be free from craving human praise like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. You see, God, he wants his ministers to serve him no matter how we're treated. Third, similar to wanting respect, some pursue ministry leadership to get a title. They want to be addressed as reverend, pastor, bishop, apostle, and some even want to string a bunch of them together like, I'm chief apostle, Dr. Reverend, oh Lord Jesus. Now, I know what I'm going to say is going to upset some of you, but as someone that loves you, I'm about to keep it totally honest with you. Nowhere in Scripture are pastors or ministers titled. Nowhere. There is not one single instance where early church leaders are addressed by titles like Apostle Peter, Prophet Agabus, Bishop Timothy, or Evangelist Apollo. The concept of titles for ministers was of little interest to Peter, Paul, James, or John. Now, the New Testament refers to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in Ephesians 4:11 through 16. But let me explain something to you. Each time these terms are used, they describe a function and not a title. You see, the true called and sent minister knows that Ephesians 11:16 describes the gifting of the called and sent. And if you don't understand that, you will misunderstand calling altogether. In today's society, if you attend a college and graduate school, you can acquire a doctorate, and this qualifies you for a name change. You're no longer John Smith. You are now Dr. Smith. Education can change how you're titled. If you graduate medical school, people no longer refer to you as Angela Brown. You are now Dr. Brown. And we have essentially adopted the same practices for our ministers. Upon graduation from seminary or Bible colleges, some church leaders, they get a reverend or whatever their denomination dictates in front of their name. But what upsets me about that is many times people can hide behind these titles without ever doing any real or effective work. They like to just drift along behind the scenes, kind of looking like they're involved, but not really ever really rolling up their sleeves to do anything. Now, there's nothing wrong with the title in and of itself, because it can identify your vocation or your position of service for those who don't know who you are. But it can also create a whole lot of issues with pride. Now, let me explain something, because I want you young ministers not to get this twisted. A person is a pastor when they excel at doing pastoral or shepherding work, carrying out the daily labor of equipping, training, and effectively leading others or a congregation to serve Christ. This is how a pastor functions. Someone is an evangelist when they excel at winning people to Christ consistently, and then they train them to go out and do the same thing. You're not an evangelist just because you get a new business card with the word evangelist printed on it. Okay? This is a function that demonstrates what God has called you to do on his behalf. When a person is ordained properly, seasoned leaders together with a congregation recognize their calling to ministry by how they function. You see, you will have regularly demonstrated the practices associated with your calling in a way that other seasoned leaders will partner with God to authorize that candidate to be publicly recognized in that job, usually through the form of an ordination. A calling to become a ministry or ministry leader is humbling, and titles should be used sparingly, if at all. It is also important for you to understand that just because you may have received your license or you have been told that you are a candidate for ordination, you are still not a pastor or an associate pastor, because again, you must be carrying out the duties of that position of service for a local or global church. Now, let me explain something to you, beloved. I have friends with doctorates in all kinds of fields. They are qualified to be addressed as doctor. But although they are doctors, few of them demand that they be addressed in this way. Now, I recognize their achievements. I recognize their hard work. But I still call them by their first name. Why? Because they're my friends. I'm not calling them by their first name out of disrespect. But I do it because their significance to me is not wrapped up in their title, but in the content of their character. Now, I know other pastors are going to be mad at me because I have what I just said is somewhat controversial. But this is what I'm going to tell you to do. I invite you to go and investigate what the scriptures have to say and then come to your own conclusion. You showed me in the Word where it says, I, the Apostle Paul, or I, the Apostle James, or I, the Bishop Timothy. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to back it up with Scripture. You know, Bishop always going to back up everything with Scripture. Jesus spoke about those who desire to be titled Rabbi, Teacher, or Father in Matthew 23:7-8. And in this context, Jesus criticizes the clergy of his day, saying that they don't practice what they teach. And then he says, and I quote, they love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi. Don't let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are equal as brothers and sisters. Now, let's pause for a moment and recall who Jesus is addressing here. You see, in the midst of an argument with the Pharisees, Jesus turns to the future leaders of his church to warn them. He instructs the apostles to steer clear of trying to gain recognition, praise, or honor from people by seeking titles. He notes how the Pharisees use titles to exalt themselves. As many of you know, I've been in Christian leadership over several decades, and I believe that pastors and church leaders deserve godly respect. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 12, 13, Paul charges the congregation to respect and appreciate their leaders because of the work they do. He says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." So you see, respect is appropriate. And I'm not leading a crusade against titles. It's, you know, if that's what you choose to use. But we do need to get real about who we are as pastors and church leaders, because no matter how many positions of service or giftings of the called and sent that you string together, we are still servants of the Most High God. Now, I am a licensed and ordained minister. I have the title of Reverend, but I never use it in reference to myself, because I don't think anyone should be reverenced but God. I have been a pastor in two brick and mortar churches, but I never demanded that I be called pastor. It was just the automatic, because I was going about the duties of the pastor, and I had been confirmed as a bishop. But I don't run around demanding that anyone kiss my ring or my behind. Do you hear me? Because I truly believe that if I need a title to get respect, there is something really deficient in my character. But we live in a day and a society where you can attend a seminary, either in person or online, complete a course of study, and earn the title of minister or reverend, yet still be an atheist. There are seminaries throughout the world paying professors to teach that God's holy scripture is archaic. And others would rather teach about the books they've written about Christianity rather than teach how to be good shepherds for God's people like Christ. There are men and women graduating from seminary and seminaries and Christian universities that are embracing beliefs that are contrary to basic Christian principles. So if a diploma or a certificate has to qualify a calling, we are in deep, 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 deep trouble. Education, talent, or ability does not ever, nor will it ever, determine if God has called you into ministry. Being able to add reverend, evangelist, or prophet in front of your name is a very poor reason for pursuing a calling in ministry, because the reality of ministry is that the majority of a minister's time will be spent working in the trenches and not up in front of people preaching. To do ministry correctly, you will spend a lot of time alone with God, studying scriptures, worshiping, and trying to listen for God's voice and discern his purpose and direction for the church or the ministry that you've been called to serve. On a daily basis, you will serve the needs of other people in a million inconvenient ways. Did you know the very word minister literally means doulos, which means servant or slaves? This means we are God's servants doing his bidding, and that often means going unrecognized and unappreciated. It's part of the job description. The fourth reason people shouldn't be going into the ministry, because there are just some people that are attracted to ministry because they're lazy. They view ministry as easy living. And one of the more annoying jokes ministers put up with is that we only work a couple hours a week. And unfortunately, many people believe that. They don't see the hours of study, prayer, counseling people with problems, planning, visiting the sick, funerals, reading, resolving conflicts in unhappy families, comfort of the hurting, one-on-one Bible study, prayer calls, feeding the homeless, going to prisons, welfare checks, and 101 other things that can come up that are as diverse as the people that we serve. But like in any vocation, there are people that want to goof off. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Lazy ministers don't last long, because that principle of sowing and reaping catches up with them really fast. And the reality of what is really required, hallelujah, help makes them seek another way of life with the quickness. Finally, some think they should be in ministry because they like the ideal of public speaking. Let me tell you something. On a few occasions, I have been approached by people who wanted to preach in the worst way. And when I finally gave them a chance, boy, did they ever preach in the worst way. All the while, they thought preaching and public speaking was easy. But anybody can flap their gums, but to speak for God as you walk with God, oh, that's a rare skill. You see, the gift of gab is not required to be a spokesperson for God. The Bible is filled with those who are not the most polished speakers, but yet they each had something significant to say. I've known and heard many preachers through the years who had no problem speaking in public, but they never said anything worth hearing. So don't you ever assume that having the gift of gab indicates a call. So those are a few of the wrong motivations to go into ministry. What about the right ones? What are some clear indicators that God has called you into ministry? I would say first and foremost that you are a genuine lover of God. If God has called you to ministry, you think about, dream about, and find your interest center around everything concerning the Christ and the body of Christ as a whole. When God calls you to ministry, the scriptures, particularly Titus and the letters to Timothy, will just have a new meaning for you. Because these were written to the church leaders, and you will find yourself wanting to have a deeper understanding of what Paul is saying. As a young woman, before I knew God was calling me to ministry, I was a voracious reader of Christian books. I read books, articles, magazines. I couldn't get enough. And the majority of my fascination centered on preaching, teaching, pastoring, and all church-related subjects. Now, believe you me, I didn't have any ambition to make ministry my vocation. I just loved everything that was related to scripture and related to leadership. The second thing, another sign that God has called you into, is a genuine desire to help others. This applies to other vocations too, but it makes little sense to become a minister if you don't have a passion to help people and to better their lives. You need to be someone who has matured beyond a self-centered outlook on life. You see, a mature person knows the difference between calling and separation. Just because you show signs that God is calling you doesn't mean you are ready to launch out into full-time ministry. Paul was called on the road to Damascus, but he was separated to do the work of the ministry years later in Antioch, as outlined in Acts 13. There is almost always a time frame between the initial calling of God and the release to do the work. Jesus taught in John chapter 10 that a true shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He contrasts this with a hired hand who abandons the flock if trouble starts. A legitimate calling means that you don't quit just because the going gets tough. Let me tell you something. Every minister will feel like quitting at some point. Just because you are a minister or even become a pastor doesn't mean you don't get discouraged. If you're called by God, you can't quit. Because, like Peter, that's not an option, and there's no retirement plan. Walking away from my calling is telling Jesus I won't do what he asked me to do. And at the end of the day, I simply can't do that. Someone who is in ministry for the wrong reasons can just quit and never think about it again. But a truly called person can't do that. Oh, we may really, really, really want to, but our conscience won't let us. It won't shut up. It won't stop talking. Third, if you are called, people naturally come to you for advice, for counsel, or for help. You are the person that people are just seem to gravitate toward to find solutions or direction. They look to you for encouragement or comfort. And without saying it, they kind of look to you like a shepherd. You see, Jesus taught that fruit is the strongest indicator of true calling. Excuse me. Excuse me. If you are called to pastor, you are able to equip, edify, and relieve people of their stress by helping them to feel whole again, salvation, deliverance, healing, restoration, and transformation. If God has called you to become an evangelist, you will always seem to encounter people at the moment they are ready to receive Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're necessarily called to full-time ministry, but it's a start in the right direction. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you hang around me long enough, God is going to teach you something. Why? Because that's my gift. I'm God's delivery girl. I'm God's cheerleader. We may just be having coffee or talking on the phone, but normally something will get said that will impact your present or your future. It has little to do with any innate ability on my part or education or brilliance. I'm just in love with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that wonderful loving gift that God has put in me just spills out. So if God has called you, other spiritual leaders will affirm that calling in you, and you need to go to them for counsel and prayer. You know, I am always wary of self-ordained folks or people who just pop up on the scene out of nowhere like spiritual nomads. Now, this doesn't always mean they're not called, but the confirmation of other spiritual leaders goes a long way to establish whether or not their ministry is valid. Finally, one of the challenges of our day and age is the erroneous idea that ministry is always church-related. In essence, if God has called you, then you must become a pastor or a church leader in order to serve him. Nothing could be further from the truth. Serving the Lord as a minister has been powerful and fulfilling for me, and it's been fulfilling as a full-time vocation. But that is because serving in this way is what God wants me to do. During my years of ministry, I've also worked in the secular arena as a Spanish translator for a law firm. I've worked in the medical field. I've been a personal banker and an accountant. And even though I enjoyed each and every one of those jobs, I never felt at home in any of them. You see, they didn't fit me. This fits me. I meet people who are called, appointed, and anointed to serve the Lord as nurses, as business people, and even as politicians. And I want you to know something. These callings are just as valid and just as holy as the call to serve in church ministry. And I think if more pastors really begin to teach this, many people could catch a vision for their true calling instead of wasting their lives trying to do something that God hasn't called them to do. Now, I believe in my heart of hearts that God has fashioned each believer for ministry in some capacity. It may not be in the church, but it may be in education or industry or entertainment or whatever he has trained or gifted you to do. Whatever that may be, you need to get with the program, and you need to know and understand whether or not you've been called. We have far too many ministers that were not called and sent, but they just went. We have too many young ministers that are getting misled, and they are getting filled with pride because they're not being properly trained. Here, at Spirit Alive. I want every minister to be properly trained and to have a heart after God's own. I don't want them to walk in pride. I don't want them to feel entitled. I don't want them to feel like they have to run around telling the world, well, I do this and I do that and I did. As long as you know you're doing what God told you to do, then you be straight. Every time you show up, you don't have to give the world your pedigree. Okay? It's not about your pedigree. It's about Jesus. It's about having his DNA. So right now, I'm going to, that is my introduction to this class. How do I know I've been called? So right now, if you have any comments or questions that you would like to make, you may now make them, and I would be happy to answer any of them for you. Amen. Because I just want you to be the best you that you can be. So right now, I see that I'm glad Mother Matt T is in the house tonight. So, Mother Matt T, did I teach the chapter right, Mother Matt T?
Yeah, I'm here. I thank you, Bishop Cook, for your words, your wisdom. You preach the truth. You told the truth. You're right. It's not about the title. It's about how you serve the Lord. Serving the Lord with honor and reverence to Him, being sincere in spirit and in truth. That is what it's all about. It really is, because I know serving the Lord will pay off for a while, and no matter what I go through, I know in my heart, you know, God's gonna take care of it, whatever it is. It's just I enjoyed all the words that you said. It's truly real in the truth, and God bless you. God bless you. You are truly a woman of God. You are an evangelist. Michelle Scott and Pastor Scott, I call him Pastor Scott, him too. You know, he's a man of God. You're faithful. And I have to say, all the Spirit of Life family is faithful. The Holloways, Prophetess Zeta, all of them, they're faithful. You all are faithful people. And that's what it takes, because the enemy, I tell you, the enemy to try anything to stop you, anything. Yes, I've been going through some things myself, and the enemy trying to stop me, trying to get me depressed, but I can't get depressed because I got a race to run. I got a spiritual race
to run,
and I'm not through climbing them mountains and them hills yet. I got to keep climbing for the Lord. I got to keep living for the Lord. I got to keep doing this. So God is great. God is wonderful. And I thank God for you all. Thank God for you too, Bishop Cook. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother.
I love you all. I really do. I love you all. You all are so sincere. Every week. You're so sincere. Every week.
God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. All right. Minister Tina, how'd you enjoy your first class, darling?
Hallelujah. Praise God. That was a wonderful class. Wonderful, wonderful, and I look forward to doing them all with you, all that I can attend. There's just a lot in there for people to think about, myself as well, as to what are we really doing this for. I know for me it's to help other people learn about Christ and know about Christ, but even times I myself question myself. So great message you gave, and I really appreciated everything that you said and that you brought to the table, even though it may be truthful and it might hurt or offend somebody, but it's the truth, and we need to know the truth, and we need to keep the truth relevant in all that we do, because God is truth. And
that's right, honey.
We're serving Christ, like we're serving Christ. Truth is all there is. There's no candy coat in it. So God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Amen. All right. Come on in the room, Evangelist Michelle. Put your two cents in, and how you enjoy your class, darling?
I enjoyed the class thoroughly. It was well worth the wait. And, you know, like Minister Tina said, you know, you're told the truth, you know, and that's what we need, the truth. We've been lied to long enough, you know, and, you know, time out for the lies. It's time to sit down, buckle down, and just get the truth embedded in us so that we can better serve God's people. So I enjoy the class, and I look forward to being in all of them. God bless you. May pour back into you so you can pour back into us next week. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, sis. Thank you. We're going to go to the Holloways. Prophetess Kathleen and Apostle, would you like to say anything to the new ministers concerning tonight's topic? Okay. Amen. Well, glory to God. How do you know you're called? Listen, there's, you know, we have to just know deep down in our sanctified souls that we have a desire to bless God's people. I know for me, that's what it's all about. It's not about a reputation. It's not about being a bishop. It's not about being an author. And it's not being able to be, it's not being able to speak many languages. All of those things are wonderful, but it only aids me in doing the work of the kingdom. It only helps me to be able to walk into a room with people, whether they're they have nothing or they have millions, and know that I belong there because I'm a vessel of God, and I'm there to make a difference for people that might not have a voice for themselves. I am here to make sure that we are properly equipped so that we can address all of the issues that God's people face today. As I have said, they are very diverse. I know that Minister Tina, her passion is abused and battered women. This is something she has been pursuing. God has prepared her heart for it. I know Evangelist Michelle, she is very interested in children and entrepreneurship. These are things that are important to her. So I know that God is doing a work in all of us. And remember, please remember that being called doesn't necessarily mean always ministry. You know, you have to remember there are other things that you can use anything. I mean, practically anything to glorify God. The Word of God says in all our ways to acknowledge Him. You know, you can be a bodacious cook, and the Lord will call you to open up a kitchen, or He might call you to teach others how to, young mothers, how to cook healthy food for their children. God can use us in so many ways. So we've got to get out of this loop about, you know, I'm a minister and I'm being called and I'm, you know, we're servants. Let's get real. We're servants. That's it. We do what we're told when we're told by God. And we're not entitled. When we become ministers, it doesn't entitle us to anything. It just makes us accountable to God and accountable to His people. And it makes us responsible with God and responsible to His people. So just, you know, if you're in here tonight, and if any of you, you know, I know a lot of you did not press your ones, and that's okay, because I think I was pretty clear. I'm a pretty straightforward person. But I want you to ponder that this week. Next week, we're going to be talking about the call in earnest, because I am really, it really makes me sad when people say they are called to things and they don't even know what it means and what, you know, what their job, what that job description entails. So we're going to be talking about the call. So I pray to God, I pray to the Heavenly Father that you receive something that will help you to grow as a minister, as a person, a solid leader in God's kingdom. I pray that you will take it to heart, that you will, you know, talk about it, share it, because some of you have children. And so I would like for you to share it with your children, because you never know. You might have a young son or daughter that is already thinking about ministry. So we need to encourage that. Servant leaders, you need to start encouraging the people in your congregation to walk in their gifts. You know, and it takes I understand. It takes a really fearless, trusting servant leader to do that. But it's not that hard, because you will see that your time as pastor or bishop or apostle will be so much more enjoyable when you recognize the gifts that God has given others and you allow them to be trained up, and you train them up and you take them out and you show them what to do, because then you're not working alone and you don't have all the work on your back. So I just pray that not only the ministers get something from this, but I pray that servant leaders will get something from this as well. And if they find themselves in any of the categories, that, you know, if they went into ministry for the wrong reason, I pray that you would ask the Lord to create in you a clean heart and renew in you a right spirit, and that you can turn back and you begin to do the work that he truly called you to do, and not what your agenda is dictating. So this has been Bishop Shalene Cook. This is our first ministerial class, Leading the Jesus Way. And I pray that you will continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, you can join Pastor Lester Carver for Tuesday teaching. On Wednesday, join myself and Evangelist Michelle Scott for Sister to Sister. This week's program is entitled The Writing is on the Wall. On Thursday, join us for Wounded No More with Prophetess Vanessa Carver. And tentatively, we may be having a program on Friday. It depends. I'm still praying about that. But you can. We usually have every man standing in his place on Fridays, and the summit on Saturdays. So, I just again, I pray that each and every one of you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and that you have a beautiful and blessed week. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. Love you.
Love you.
Love you, Bishop.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.